So we have reached the end of Paul's final letter this evening, chapter 4. And as we look through chapter 4, verses 9 to 22, page 1197, you're going to find out we've got an awful lot of names in our passage this evening. Fortunately, not two of them are very long. Too many of them are very long, which is much easier to read. But that gives us our theme for this evening that we're looking at, and it's this: the importance of people. Sometimes it's going to be easy when we reach the end of Paul's letters and you get this whole list of names and think, oh, well, this is the stuff that's a bit irrelevant. But actually, it has lots to say to us about the significance of people. Some of people have been important in good ways for Paul, and some have been very difficult for Paul. We're going to see both those two groups this evening. But what we're going to see this evening is a reflection of what the Bible has to say about how significant people are to be in our lives. We're not supposed to be loners. We're not supposed to be self-sufficient. We're made for relationship, supremely with the Lord Jesus and with others around us. So bear that in mind as we listen to the conclusion to Paul's letter, page 1197. I'm going to pick it up at verse 9. So Paul is speaking, remember, to Timothy. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Dalmatia and to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus in Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he's done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus ill in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, and Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Lots of names, then, and lots of places mentioned. So here's our first job this evening. Our first job is to work out where exactly everyone is. And in order to help you do that, we have something that will make Steph particularly very happy, because we're going to look at some maps. So what you've got here is you've got a map each, and you've got a list of all the people who are in that. And what you need to do is to work out, to put on your map, the appropriate person in the appropriate place. Now, you'll notice as you read that through, because you were listening carefully, that some people move. So what you will need to work out is where some people began and where some people ended up. So we can do a little bit of geography, which will also keep Elizabeth happy, and we'll see how people have moved around. So what you want to do is to find out where everyone is and move them around to their different places and see the kind of impact that makes as you see them spread out and the kind of impact that might have had on Paul and others. Okay, right then, let's see how you got on. So, there's a bunch of people who are in Rome, aren't there? Yeah, who's in Rome? Yeah, some people have got more than one thing. I'll obviously cut them up slightly wrong. Paul's in Rome because he's in prison. Yeah, anyone else in Rome? Luke, because Luke is with him. Yep. Who else is in Rome? Alexander might be in Rome. Alexander's the wild card. We're not quite sure where Alexander is. Pudens is in Rome, yes. And Linus. And Claudia, yes. Yeah. So the people who are mentioned at the end who are sending their greetings, they're presumably in Rome as well. And there was one more there as well. Eubulus. That's a great name, isn't it? Eubulus. There's a name that's fallen out of usage. What a shame. So you've got a whole bunch of people who are in Rome. Okay. Right, and then there's a bunch of people who we think were in Rome, but have then gone left and gone elsewhere. Who would that include? Alexander, maybe. We don't know enough about Alexander. We'll come to Alexander in a minute. Demas has gone to Thessalonica, which is over here, because he loved the world. Tychicus has gone to Yeah, probably with this letter. That's probably why he's gone there, because Timothy is in Ephesus. So he's come all the way. That's quite a way, isn't it? All the way over here. Yeah. Titus has gone to Dalmatia, somewhere up here in this region. And Crescens has gone to Galatia. There's a bit of debate whether it's this Galatia, the Asian Galatia, or sometimes Galatia is used to describe Gaul, which is kind of up towards the north of Italy. We're not quite sure. But anyway, that's where Crescens has gone. So there's a whole bunch of people who were with Paul and who've left. Three people who've kind of gone off elsewhere. So that's why Paul is feeling a little bit more alone, because some of his closest colleagues have left and gone elsewhere. What about Timothy, we said, is in Ephesus. Who else is in Ephesus? Priscilla and Aquila, presumably in Ephesus, and the household of Onesiphorus, who we heard of back in chapter 1, you remember. Although quite possibly Onesiphorus himself may have passed away, because he's not mentioned specifically. Anyone else? Who else have we got who's somewhere else? Pardon? Erastus, where's Erastus? He's in Corinth. We don't know if it's the same Erastus who was a kind of city official who's mentioned in an inscription which has been found of Erastus in Corinth. Might be the same one. Mark, where's Mark? Might be in Ephesus, yeah. He says bring him with, get him. So perhaps Mark is somewhere on the way. We don't know. We're not quite sure. It's a bit of a guess. He might be in somewhere on the way, and Timothy's to swing past. Who else have we got? Carpus. Where's Carpus? He's in Troas. And what's Carpus looking after? A cloak and some parchments, which Paul left there before. Yeah. Anyone else? Trophimus. Where's Trophimus? He's in Miletus. He's right down here, and he wasn't very well when Paul left him. So maybe Timothy might pop into Miletus on the way past and say hello, give him a get well card. And then the other two other people who were mentioned, we're not quite sure. One other person, Alexander. We don't know exactly where Alexander is. Lots of debate is written about who this Alexander bloke is. There was an Alexander in Ephesus, if you read Acts 19, who opposed Paul there. And Timothy, who is in Ephesus, is being warned against him. Could it be the same guy? Not quite sure. There's also an Alexander in 1 Timothy 1. He's a false teacher. We don't know if it's that same one, or it could be someone else entirely. We don't know, but it gives biblical scholars lots of reasons to write books and papers and that kind of thing. But lots of people who are mentioned who've spread out right the way around the world. People are important, is one of the things we learn from this. People are important to Paul. Relationships matter, and people matter. Because sometimes we have this image of Paul as this great go-it-alone apostle who is self-sufficient and striking out on his own, and that simply isn't true. People are important to Paul. People mattered. He always travelled with companions. If you read the book of Acts, he's always got people with them. You hear about them in the opening to his letters, and you see them in the closings of his letters in passages like this. And these verses at the end of this letter give us a bit of an insight into Paul the person, don't they? And how much people mattered to him. Which means, first application for us, people need to matter to us too. We're not supposed to walk with Jesus alone. We were thinking a bit about that this morning, weren't we? We're supposed to make the effort, and we need to make the effort, to involve ourselves in the lives of others and to have others involved in our own lives. And that means being vulnerable with people. We're not supposed to stand at a distance. It's not an optional extra for the keenies, for the extroverts. It's something that we all need. And having people involved in our lives will do two things. It will bring both great joy, and it will also cause great pain. Those are two realities. And we're going to see both of those things this evening as we work through this passage. But let's start with people as the cause of great joy. We're going to think about Paul's precious people. So who do you think, from reading that through, who do you think stands out as being particularly significant to Paul and why? Those names that we look through. Who stands out as being particularly significant to Paul and why? Luke stands out as being particularly important. There's a wealth of backstory, isn't there, behind that little one line. Only Luke is with me now. There's a whole story that lies behind that for Paul, isn't there? What a dear friend that Luke has been. He's been constantly with him throughout Paul's life, it would almost seem. Colossians 4, he describes him as our dear friend Luke the doctor. He was incredibly close to Luke. Mark, I wonder, yep.
Mark would be an
Mark will be in the wrong. We'll come to him in just a second. But I wonder, as you think about Luke for a moment, are there precious people who have stuck with you through thick and thin? Like Luke stuck with Paul, who you're grateful to God for in those things. So Mark's another one. Now Mark might be a surprise name on that list if you know something about Paul's past history. Because Mark is someone that Paul particularly asks Timothy to bring with him. Why? Because he is helpful in my ministry. He could have picked anyone and he picks Mark. This is the same Mark over whom Paul and Barnabas had a split in Acts chapter 12. They went different ways because Paul didn't want to take Mark with him on his next missionary journey because he thought Mark was unreliable. Haven't things changed? Now he says, get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. I wonder what that history that history and the reconciliation had added to Paul's relationship with Mark. And maybe how it had changed what he thought God could do to turn someone's life around. I wonder, as you reflect on your own history, are there people who've surprised you and become precious? Who else is particularly precious to Paul that we see here? There's an obvious one. Timothy. Timothy is obviously precious to Paul. Paul is desperate to see him. Did you hear verse 9? Do your best to come to me quickly, he says. And then a little bit later on, he says, verse 21, do your best to get here before winter. I really want to see you, Timothy. Please get here. Amidst everything else and all these other individuals that Paul mentioned, it's Timothy that Paul wants to see. So he'll send Tychicus to Ephesus with this letter to get him and presumably to take over some of Timothy's duties while Timothy's away. There's a particular closeness to Paul's relationship with Timothy. Elsewhere, he's given the impression of thinking of him as a bit like a son. So his greeting at the beginning of the letter, if you remember, was this. To Timothy, my dear son. Again, a few words give a whole wealth of backstory, don't they? I wonder, as you reflect on your own life, are there precious people that you turn to when things are really hard, as they are for Paul here? I want Timothy with me now. I need Timothy. Who else might be particularly precious to Paul? There's one other group of people here, I think. Priscilla and Aquila. That's a good. I hadn't thought about them. They kind of fit in with this other group because Paul spent a lot of time with Priscilla and Aquila. I was thinking of Crescens, Titus, and Tychicus. These others who've shared their ministry. But actually, you're right. Priscilla and Aquila will fit in with that as well. They've been partners in Paul's journeys. Now we know nothing else of Crescens other than this mention here. But Titus and Tychicus are mentioned in other letters. Tychicus in Ephesians 6 and Titus in 2 Corinthians 7. They've shared many experiences with Paul. They've shared highs and lows of ministry. And now they've left Paul to go and do ministry elsewhere. And given Paul's situation in prison and fearing for his life, it can't have been easy for Paul to say goodbye to those close friends, can it? And yet he chooses to send them off. He's done so for the furtherance of the gospel, despite the cost to him. No, you need to go because God's called you there. I wonder, as you reflect on life, are there precious people that you've had to say goodbye to because God has called you or called them on somewhere else and they need to be released to go where God has taken them? See, people are important. There are precious people that God places in our lives. So we're going to take just a few minutes around our groups now to talk about, who are those people for you? Who are those people for you, and how do you express your gratitude to God? Who are the Timothys who you turn to when life is really hard? The Crescens, the Titus, the Tychicus, the Priscilla and Aquilas, those you've had to say goodbye to because God's called them elsewhere. The Lukes, people who have stuck with you through thick and thin. The Marks, people who have surprised you as they've become precious. It's a chance to encourage one another with the people who've made an impact on our lives in different ways. Let's spend a few minutes doing that, and then in a few minutes we're going to pray and thank God for those individuals. Father, we are grateful for all those names and faces that have come to mind of people that you have placed in our lives for whom we are grateful and for whom and who have become precious to us. Lord, thank you for putting them. Thank you for giving us reliable people who have stuck with us through thick and thin. Thank you for people who have been there when times have been really difficult and hard. Thank you for people who have surprised us as you have turned around a relationship, as you have shown your work in their lives and in ours and brought reconciliation in times and a preciousness that comes with that. Lord, we want to thank you for those who we've had to say goodbye to, painful as that has been. Thank you for enabling us to do that, and thank you for the relationships that we continue to enjoy with many of those. Father, we are grateful that you put so many folk in our lives to point us towards the wonder of who the Lord Jesus is. We thank you for the privilege that we have of doing that for others too. Lord, please, would you help us, even as we were thinking about this morning, to be those who do speak truth into one another's lives in love, who seek to build one another up. Lord, we long that in future there will be others who would say of us that we have helped them to stay close to Jesus and to know him better. Not so that we might be thought wonderful, but so that that impact of people knowing and loving the Lord Jesus more might be seen in their lives and in the influence they have on others. Lord, we thank you for each individual that we have mentioned and pray for your blessing on each of them and ask that you would help us in turn to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we are grateful for all those names and faces that have come to mind of people that you have placed in our lives for whom we are grateful and for whom and who have become precious to us. Lord, thank you for putting them. Thank you for giving us reliable people who have stuck with us through thick and thin. Thank you for people who have been there when times have been really difficult and hard. Thank you for people who have surprised us as you have turned around a relationship, as you have shown your work in their lives and in ours and brought reconciliation in times and a preciousness that comes with that. Lord, we want to thank you for those who we've had to say goodbye to, painful as that has been. Thank you for enabling us to do that, and thank you for the relationships that we continue to enjoy with many of those. Father, we are grateful that you put so many folk in our lives to point us towards the wonder of who the Lord Jesus is. We thank you for the privilege that we have of doing that for others too. Lord, please, would you help us, even as we were thinking about this morning, to be those who do speak truth into one another's lives in love, who seek to build one another up. Lord, we long that in future there will be others who would say of us that we have helped them to stay close to Jesus and to know him better. Not so that we might be thought wonderful, but so that that impact of people knowing and loving the Lord Jesus more might be seen in their lives and in the influence they have on others. Lord, we thank you for each individual that we have mentioned and pray for your blessing on each of them and ask that you would help us in turn to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so let's have a think about these three groups. Let's start with Demas, shall we? What would the pain have been like? Tell me about Demas.
So everyone's
like, he believed and has walked away. Yes. Yep. Yep. He's served with Demas. He's mentioned elsewhere in one of the Paul's of the letters. I had it written down. I can't find where it is. As he'd served with Paul for a while. So yes, there's. So what's the impact of that then? How does There's a deep sadness there, isn't there, that comes through with that. Someone who has served for so long and then appears to have wandered away. Yeah.
It's an affectional and spiritual bond that's been broken, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, so there's a close bond. There could be that sense of abandonment of as he's kind of left. There's something going on there, isn't there, in what Paul says. Yep, yep. Maybe a sense of betrayal. It also seems that Demas may well have turned his back on the faith, so there's an added pain that comes with that, isn't there, of concern for Demas, someone who's been a good friend, and he seems to be walking away from Jesus because he's loved the world. In many ways, there's a pain of a loved one, a loved friend walking away. It's almost more difficult than someone who has always been an enemy, and loving the world more than the gospel. It's a desperate situation for Paul, isn't it, in what those few words.
It sounds like Paul's invested a lot in emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can hear the pain that comes through. Yeah. What about, how does he respond to Demas? What's his kind of verdict, if you like, at the end? He's gone, yeah. Yeah, that Alexander. Sorry, we're still on Demas at the moment. Yeah, yeah. No. No, that's fine. He doesn't actually give a specific verdict on Demas, does he? So although he loved the world, he's deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. But maybe Paul still hopes. Maybe Demas will turn around. It happened with Mark. Maybe Demas will come back. We don't know. There's a kind of open-endedness to Demas here, isn't there? Where he's gone on a desperately sad route, and Paul is really concerned for him, but we don't know what happens to Demas after that. We don't know where he went, what happens. What about Alexander then? What was the whole dealings with Alexander been like for Paul? Yeah, it's deliberate opposition, isn't it? A deliberate causing of harm to Paul. There's a personal nature to this, isn't there? Did Alexander turn him in? Did he get him in trouble? We don't know. But there's something that Alexander has deliberately stood against Paul. He's deliberately caused him harm. Yep, what else?
I think there's something there that says that he could be a danger to others.
Yep.
He kind of opposes the message and opposes the church.
Yep.
So he says, be on your guard.
Yep, so he's worried about what he might do for Timothy. And it's not simply that he's opposed Paul as an individual, but he's opposed the gospel. And so there's a real, he's destructive. He's keeping people from the good news of Jesus. And so there's more anger, I think, here, isn't there, for Paul? And righteous anger because of what Alexander has done, because of the consequences it's having on others. Yeah. It's a different sort of pain, the pain of straightforward opposition, but he still feels it deeply, doesn't he? He's concerned with the impact on others. And how does he deal with him? How does he respond to him?
So,
yeah, yep. He's going to leave it to God. Yep. It's more serious, isn't it? It's not simply leaving it up to God, but the Lord will repay him for what he has done. He expects judgments on Alexander as a result. There are severe consequences because of the way he's opposed the gospel. At the moment, he doesn't seem to, does he? No, he's because of what Alexander has done. Now, undoubtedly, you know, Paul himself was completely turned around. It is possible. It's a severe judgment that he pronounces on Alexander here, isn't it? Yeah. What about the deserters? Well, he's certainly strongly opposed his message, isn't he? Yes. What about the deserters? What would be the pain? Yeah, there's an element of shock there, isn't it? They didn't come along. Yeah. No, he doesn't. It's interesting, isn't it? These Christians in Rome who didn't turn up for his first trial, his attitude is far more conciliatory and forgiving, isn't it? May the Lord not hold it against them.
Do you know something that's quite interesting? Because at the time, they was using Christians as sort of lamps. They were burning them alive.
They were a little bit later on under Nero, yes. That was... So, you know, Paul faces the death penalty, doesn't he? Yeah. He doesn't want it held against them, unlike with Alexander. I wondered, does Paul understand something of the reality of their fear of what's going on? And therefore, he doesn't want it held against them. They're probably not well known to him, but he would have expected support. I wonder, those he mentions in verse 21 at the end, were they amongst those who didn't turn up? We don't know, do we? But there's clearly been some, if it is them, there's been some reconciliation with them since. But Paul's attitude is forgiving there. But each of those people will have caused Paul pain in different ways. Those who've been close to him and have deserted him, those who just abandoned him, not knowing him so well, and those who directly opposed him. Each of them has caused Paul pain, and you can see it there in what he says. But in each case, he deals with them differently according to what they've done. But there's one last person we haven't looked at, one who is faithful and precious to Paul beyond measure. Verse 16. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth.
The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. So in the midst of Paul's hardship that he's gone through in all this experience, there is one person who has been faithful to him throughout, even more so than Luke, who has been with him. God has been with him, and God has enabled him to serve and to make the gospel known. So in the midst of all this hardship that Paul has gone through, God has used it for his glory. And the same is true for us today. In the midst of hardship, God is able to use us for his glory in the midst of difficulty. And he may well make great use of us through it. So Paul, because he's been on trial before the Roman Senate and others, the gospel has been fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles have heard it. God's presence has been real for Paul in the midst of all this hardship. And he's provided the strength that he needs to keep on going. The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. And actually, as Paul looks forward to the future, he is confident in God. He was delivered from the lion's mouth on this occasion, but he knows, as we looked at last week, that the end is coming soon. He's being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for his departure is near. He knows he's heading towards the end of his life, and yet he is still confident in God. Not that God will make everything okay, but that the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. That's Paul's goal. Not that he might be released from prison in Rome and go and live on a beach in Bermuda or something like that, but that God will keep him safe right through to the end till he gets to glory. That's the great promise that God holds out. And that's good for us too to remember in the midst of hardship. There will always be difficulty and brokenness in this world. Because God's great promise is sure and certain. He will keep us safe, and keeping us safe means he will keep us in the Lord Jesus right through till he takes us to be with himself. That's what we look forward to, and that's our greatest prayer for ourselves and for one another. That God will keep us safe right through till we go to his heavenly kingdom. And so to him be glory forever and ever. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are a faithful God. Thank you that we can reflect ourselves on times of great hardship and difficulty, when it seems like the world has turned against us and even those closest to us have deserted us, when we have felt very alone, and yet we have not been alone because you have always been with us. Thank you that you've even deigned to use us in those situations, that the Lord Jesus might shine out from us, not because we are strong, but because he has been with us. And thank you, Lord, for the security you gave Paul, that not that he would be released from prison in Rome, but that you would keep him right through to the end, till that day when he met you face to face. And thank you that your promise is true for us too, in the midst of all that we might go through, that you will keep us and bring us safely to your heavenly kingdom. Lord, we do long for that day when you will finally end all our struggles with the flesh, the world, and the devil. And we acknowledge that you are the one who deserves all the glory, because you are the one who will do it. And so we thank you and ask that you would help us to trust you and to keep our eyes fixed on that glorious prize. In Jesus' name, amen.